going to read, to begin with, something that I have read in Streams in the Desert. Just a paragraph. Commentators and reporters today have recently been giving to the nation some alarming facts of the present-day world conditions. Through the medium of television, one catches a glimpse of world leaders sitting in their peace conferences and at the United Nations seeking some satisfactory way of the chaotic and hopeless condition. What is to be gained by crying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace? Mankind already exists amid the ruins of a world full of broken homes and broken hopes and broken hearts. One wonders no longer how true the statement, "The world has gone to pieces." Man and all his wisdom, devices, and schemes will not solve the present-day problems. As I read that, I thought I was reading something about today. And that was written over 50 years ago. So, the day that we're living in, we could write almost the same thing, couldn't we? This particular year, and I'm going to call it history, even of the world, has been, I would say, unique. The world has gone through other pandemics, but not necessarily to the extent this one has been carried out. I believe that God is working to try to awaken people, that they would be concerned about their souls in eternity, that time, and you hear people out there that are saying they feel that there's coming something. They may not exactly say it's the end of time, but They have some kind of a feeling that there's changes that are coming. And I presume that we all could feel that way. Maybe we've had our apprehensions in this last year. It's been an unusual year in many ways. Politically, it's been different. In our whole society, there have been changes. People are under a spirit of fear. In reality, I have said that our country could not be controlled in the way that it has been this past year if the spirit of fear had not been cast upon the people. God has allowed all of this. And probably down through the centuries and in other generations, there have been other times that maybe they have spoken, such as we might speak today. As we think about changes, that you and I may not be in control. We're not here to prophesy anything exact. But there is one thing for sure. You and I need to have our eyes on Jesus. I want to read a scripture now. In Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. And the writer here, he's saying he's looking at life, and he calls it everything that's under the sun. Throughout most of Ecclesiastes, there is a key word, and he often says vanity. He calls everything vanity. I believe one purpose that the writer of Ecclesiastes is trying to say to any who read it, I believe he's trying to say that it is fruitless or vanity, or it's just plain emptiness to try to live this life without God. That's what he means when he says this is vanity. Without God, nothing matters. Without you and me facing the future, we know not what the future holds. We know not what tomorrow will bring. We know not what an hour will bring. It is all a secret. It's hidden behind a veil. And if we don't have God and our hope be in God, it is vanity. So in this first chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 4. It says, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Now the earth is not going to abide forever. What the writer is trying to say is, in spite of one generation coming and one going, the earth is still here. And the earth will still be here until God says it is enough. It says, the sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Isn't this amazing? Do we stop and think of how God has set it all in motion? And he's ordered it to be so? And it still is happening. It's still working just like he set it in order. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. And the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. I hope that by reading this little writing that was written in 1966 and comparing it to what we could write today would let us know that there is no new thing under the sun. We may turn on the radio and listen to the news. Actually, after Lorne passed, I hadn't turned on the news for several weeks. Then one day, I was out in the car, and that's generally when I listen to it. And I thought, all of a sudden, I thought, you know, I don't even know what's happening in the world. I better find out. I better turn on the radio and find out, and turned on the news. And I found I hadn't missed a thing. It was still the same news. I want to tell you, God is still in control. And there's no new thing under the sun. He's got it all set in order. He knows exactly the moment that he's going to say it is enough. He knows the day and the hour. I'm glad he does. I can trust him for that. So this writing here is just to awaken us that what has happened in the past, events of our country, events of the world, most likely will happen again. There's been many generations come and many generations go, and yet the earth is still here. Time is still going on. I want to read a few scriptures now from Genesis. I'm going to look at the 8th chapter of Genesis and read from 21 and 22. The setting here is the destruction of all the living through the flood. Verse 21 says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord to the saving of his whole family. He spent 120 years preaching and warning that this flood was coming. How many do you think got saved? None. Now there were those that were of his lineage that died just before the flood. Godly men. But God chose Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, to carry out his plan. So the flood has happened. They are the only ones that are left on the earth. And so the Lord commanded them to leave the ark. And the first thing they did was make an offering, a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. The offering that came up before God was pleasing unto God. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of men's hearts is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. This is the covenant that God made not only with Noah, but he sends this covenant to you and me. It's still a covenant today. God will never destroy this earth again by a flood. And then verse 22, and it says, his word is, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now what do you think when we consider the word of God, consider the covenant that he has left with all generations that were to come? The generations today can read this, if they so choose, and they can believe it or they can reject it. We have so many theories that float around our whole civil world trying to say, speak about, some will even say the sun is going to burn out, theories to frighten people. Children cannot hardly comprehend all of the predictions that we're going to be so hot on the earth that we won't be able to grow food and everyone is going. Does this sound familiar? Where can I go to find the truth? I can go to this verse right here. Because he said, I'm not going to destroy the earth again with flood. And from now on until I return, they're going to be having seed time and harvest, summer and winter, heat and cold, day and night. It's not going to change. He has it set in order. It's His plan. So when we hear all of these predictions, don't be disturbed. Don't fall for it. Don't believe a lie. Look up. Trust. Believe. Believe God's word. Stand on it. Rest on it. Rest in it. That He knows how to handle everything to His coming. Now let's look at another covenant here. It's in chapter 9. And I believe I'm going to start reading verse 12. And God said, "This is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." How many generations is that? Till the end. Whatever generation comes, whatever generation goes, this is still going to be the truth, and it will still be a covenant that God will not change. And so He places a token, and you and I take it for granted. I'm sure we do. I think that I do. I don't think that every time I see a rainbow in the sky that I stop and think, wait a minute, God set that in the firmament as a promise to mankind. Do we stop and think about that? Because that's the token. Verse 13. "I do set my bow in the cloud," rainbow, "which is between me and you and every living..." Whoops, I'm in the wrong verse. I'm sorry, skip down. "And it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant." God remembers His own covenant. When He sets the bow, and you know we have an explanation how a rainbow is created. We have a scientific explanation. This happens. Water is here. The sun is shining here. And it creates this. So if I just look at it and say, well, I know why that's there. Let us look back at the token. God set it there. He is the creator. Whether you want to call it scientific, that's fine. I like to know how things work and how they are put together and how God made it to happen. I like that. But this is a covenant that's going to be perpetual to the end of time. And it is to speak to us. It is to say, God is not going to destroy man off of the earth again by a flood. And it's never happened. Oh, we've had floods in certain parts, but never has it happened again, nor will it ever happen again because of His covenant over the whole face of the earth. So God, when He sets this in, this token, He remembers His own covenant. And He says, "Which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of the flesh that is upon the earth." I think it's very good for us to consider some of the covenants of God, that He's taking note. He's remembering His own words, and He's going to stand by His own word. There is something, though, I want to insert here, lest anyone would think that God's never going to destroy the earth. But God is. You can read it over in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and I'm referring to verse 7 right now. And verse 7 says that we are to know that the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire for the day of judgment. I put that in there, for the day of judgment. But it will never happen again by water. And you can read in that 3rd chapter of 1 Peter what it says will happen when God says time will be no more. So we're concerned. I think we're all concerned about the events of our world. But I want us to leave here today and not be troubled. Jesus, when he walked the earth and taught the people and gave the warnings himself, and more than one of the Gospels printed it, he gave signs of the coming of the Lord, or the end of time. And these signs have probably been in every generation up to this time, and continues to be a part of the signs. And so there in the third chapter of 1 Peter, it'll say that there were people, are people, that are willingly ignorant. And there are scoffers that will say, where is the promise of his coming? Is in the song, Sister Lorinda sang, the first verse that she sang indicates that. I've heard it long ago, and it still hasn't happened. And the scoffers of the world are still saying that. Oh, my grandparents taught that the world would come to an end, and their generation is gone. There is going to be a last generation. I call it the last generation will be the innocent generation. There will be a generation of children that are not at the age of accountability. And it will be a generation that will not enlarge hell. And it will be a generation that will people heaven because they're innocent. But of that generation that is of the age of accountability, there will be innocent people. They too will people heaven. But it will be those that have sought after the plan of God for redemption, that have sought for his grace, the power of his grace to keep us. Those will be innocent. Those will be the ones that are covered with his blood. The blood of Jesus cleanseth. Thank the Lord. You and I can still plead the blood today. In the night, I had a lot of difficulty sleeping last night. You know what I was doing? I was pleading the blood to cover my mind. The devil is wanting to wear you and me out. We had that in a message just recently. He's wanting you and me to be so worn mentally, physically, emotionally, even spiritually, that we could be tripped up. We could be caught up in the very spirit of this world. Oh, you may not go out and commit the gross sins of the world, but what if you get caught up in the fears of this world? The scripture says that even those that were the fearful and the unbelieving, they will lose their soul. We must not give in to the fears that the enemy is trying to put over our whole society. Don't be a part of it. Don't allow fear to rule your life. Don't allow fear to influence how you think and feel and act. Don't you know you act differently when you're under a spirit of fear? Yes. We all do. If we get under a spirit of fear, we cannot trust. We cannot believe. We can't believe His covenant. We can't believe His promises. We can't believe in the promise of His Savior, of the plan of God, if we're under a spirit of fear. So when Jesus said these things to the people, and I'll just paraphrase some of it, He was giving them signs that they could know. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes and famines. And He just told, and every generation has probably experienced it so far. And you and I will still have those things that will come, that will possibly affect the way we think and feel. Go back to the scripture and say, Jesus said it. He said in one place, He said, remember, I told you this before it happened. And that's what He's wanting us to still be alert to. So He's already told us that there's going to be troubles and sorrows. There's going to be trouble in the whole world. But what did He say at the end of it? He said, be ye not troubled. Now, if we get our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to sink. You and I will have to keep our eyes on the Lord and believe His word and trust in His word that what He said He will do, He will do. He will not lie. He will not fail. I want to go over now to Psalms 42nd and 43rd chapter and pick up three verses. And all three of these verses are almost identical. So I'm going to only choose one to read. There's a question that He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's talking to His own soul. Have you ever been cast down? Some people might call it even depressed. Oh, I just feel like a cloud is hanging over me. Have you ever talked to your own soul and said, why are you feeling this way? Maybe you don't even know what is causing it. Maybe you don't even understand the enemy. Many times, don't we blame the devil when we're cast down? Did you know it's good for us to be aware where it comes from? Because you and I must learn in these days that we have to resist the devil. Did you know the devil is real? There's many people out there that try to take the Bible and just say it's a myth. It doesn't really mean that. I believe it means it. I have experienced my soul being cast down. Have you? Maybe there's some that are a little more, have a tendency to being cast down than others. I don't know. But I do know one thing, that the devil would like for my soul to be cast down. Yes. And so the writer here is saying, why are you cast down? And then it says, why art thou disquieted in me? Could it be all of the things that are happening around about us? All of the distressing news, all of the negative news, the violence in the land, all of the things that, you know, you and I have been spared. We have been blessed to live where we live. Yes. other states and other cities have not been so blessed. Aren't you thankful? And yet just hearing about those things, I remember, it was on our anniversary. And I really hadn't been paying attention to the news. I don't know that Lauren had. But we were on a little trip. We were in a motel. And this television could have every news station on it at the same time. I'd never seen anything like it. And you could just click on this one and you could see that news report. You could click on this and see that. Every news was showing these demonstrations and violent behavior and destruction, and we were aghast because we weren't aware that it was happening in our country. And when you see it, it can be troubling. It troubled us. Yes, we were disquieted. But listen what this scripture says next. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and who is my God. So what if we find out or read or see a violent report in our land, a negative report? So what if we do? What are you going to do with it? You're going to let it cause you to be cast down? You're going to lose sleep over it? You're going to wake up in the night and be troubled about it? Oh, I want to tell you, our young people and children is who we need to pray for. That God will help them to be strengthened and established and settled. And not be affected by what we see and hear and read. Lord, help us. Help us to hope in God. And that's what I want to leave with us today. I want us to have a hope in God. Let's turn to Lamentations, the third chapter. And we're going to read several verses there. I hope that we leave today and we can allow all of the stress and distress and all of the worries and all that the news media is putting out, that we can just let it dissolve. Okay, let me find Lamentations, the third chapter. I'm going to read between verses 18 and 26. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. You know, we can be tempted to give in to some of the distresses that we hear and let it affect us. And maybe we've even wondered, what is there to hope for? What's going to happen in the, I don't know what's tomorrow. Listen, when you have a temptation to worry about tomorrow and wonder what it is, can you sing the song, I don't worry or the future? I know who holds my hand. I know who is in tomorrow. That's a good song for you to sing and to even quote. And it will revive hope. God is in tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow will hold. It's a secret. Many secrets. Every one of us here today has no idea what tomorrow is going to be. You might say, well, I plan to go to work, I plan to go to school, I plan to go wherever. You may have it in your mind what you plan to do. But unless God says, You will live tomorrow. You will not do as you've planned. That's why he put in the scripture that we know not what a day will bring forth. That we should be saying, if the Lord wills, I will go and do this and do that. Did you know it's good for you to say that? To make a habit of it? If not verbally, at least in your heart? Lord, what you will, I hope to do. Do what the will of the Lord is, what he's opening up, what he's allowing you to do in your life. But don't come down to the place and say, my strength and my hope is perished. You reject that thought. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery. Do you remember those things? Do you remember the trials you've had in the past? Can you recall some of the battles that you've gone through? I can. When you recall some of the battles you've gone through, who was the one that brought you out? It was God. And it causes me to hope in him now. So I remember mine affliction. I remembered my misery. And my soul has still in remembrance as is humbled in me. When you recall the things you've been through, I want to tell you, and I don't say it lightly, I have been through some things in the last few years that I thought I would not make it. I thought I would break. God helped me. He was the one that upheld me and strengthened me. And brought me out into a wealthy place. Listen, God is the only one that's going to help you in your life, in your problems, in your tests, in your trials, in your battles. But he's the only one that's going to help you in this country that we're living in. He's the only one. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hoped. So when you recall some of those hard places you've been, maybe when your faith was really put to the test, and you remember how God has helped you, let it inspire hope. Let it inspire faith. Let it inspire trust. Has he ever failed? He's never failed. And he will never fail those that trust in him, those that believe in him, those that put their hand in his hand. He will never fail you. Thank the Lord. So when you recall those things, have hope. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Focus on his faithfulness. His compassions are new every morning. Do you stop and think about it? His mercies. Every morning that you are allowed to see the light of a new day, God has a fresh supply. Don't give up on it. Hope in it. Verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, waiting is not easy, but you and I are going to be required to wait on the Lord. Yes. He said, wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, God is going to hold you up. He's going to go before us. He's preparing the way. you don't have to fail. You can have hope. But remember how great His faithfulness is. I'm thinking about Jehoshaphat and maybe even Hezekiah. Both different kinds of battles. A great army is coming against the people of God under Jehoshaphat. And what did he say? He took it to the Lord and he laid the letter out before him. And what did he say? We don't know what to do. You and I are going to be in places just like that too. We won't know what to do. But what was the next statement? But my eyes, our eyes are upon thee. Hezekiah had been given a death sentence. Get your house in order. You're going to die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall. What he did say, he said, Lord, you know how I've lived. You and I can turn our faces to the wall and hold it before the Lord. Lord, you know my heart. You know that I want to live for you. You know I want to be victorious. You know, Lord, you're a discerner of my thoughts and the intentions of my heart. And you can help me. And he will. In both cases, God helped. Because their eyes were upon him. I'm thinking about a refuge. This last week, the Lord gave me this scripture, inspired it to me. It's Psalms 32 and 7. I'm memorizing it. And in the night when I was having difficulty drawing my thoughts in and couldn't go to sleep, I used this verse. Listen to it. Thou art my hiding place. Are you going to seek for a hiding place in God? There's no other hiding place that works except in God. It goes on and it says, Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. Oh, God knows how to give us hope. He knows how to help us. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. Says no, and this is so familiar, but I wonder how long it's been since we've read it or even quoted it. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Commit your life, commit your soul, commit your emotions, commit your mind, commit your spirit unto the Lord. He's able to keep it. He will keep you to the last day. When you pray for yourself, are you saying, Lord, keep me to my last breath? Keep me to your coming. Whichever is first, he will keep you. Hope thou in God. Why can we hope in God? He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For as long as you live or this world stands, Christ is our hope of eternal life. I've written down some things I need to hope in. I need to hope in his promises. I can hope in his deliverances, and I can hope to the end. There's a song in our book, number 23, I Have a Hope. Maybe we'll sing that in closing. But until then, till we close, I want to give you another song that came to my mind. And I looked it up on the internet last night and wrote down the lyrics to it. And I want to share it with you. But I want to tell you what year this song was written. This song was written in 1918. So this song has been around 102 years. And it still works. It's still effective. It has passed through that many generations. There have been popular singers recorded, various down through. You can see it on YouTube, different ones that have recorded it, same song. And it's simply keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus when the tidal wave eternal round you rolls. You ever feel like that you're just being bowed over by all of the stress and pressures of life? The same theory, or maybe I should, not theory, the same counsel is good today as it was in 1918. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will calm the storms of life that toss your soul. Living in a world that's full of sorrow, we are tired and tempted. Are we tired? I think we're all getting tired. I think we sense it in each other. We are tired and tempted every day, knowing not the secrets of tomorrow. We find if to win, we watch and pray. So that's our little message today. I hope that you can hope in God, trust in Him. Look away from, some people, they'll say, well, you can't just go stick your head in the sand. You can't be like an ostrich. No, I don't think that God is calling for us to do that, but I know one thing. We can trust Him that He knows what the truth is. He knows where the truth is. And I'm not talking about biblical truth. He knows the truth out there. I can trust Him to know the truth, even if I don't know the truth. So may the Lord bless you today. And maybe we can stand and sing number 23, I Have a Hope. Amen.